Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Happy 2026. Here we are gathered again. And one of the things that I've been doing the past couple years is when we turn a leaf and we get to a new year, Oxford does this deal where they have a word of the year. And I've been sharing those words of the year with you every year. In fact, I've done sermons based on whatever the word of the year is. I'm not doing that this year. You'll see why in a moment. But there's multiple things that we've done in the past. We did goblin mode. We did brain rot. Last year, the word was riz. Thank God that's dissipated a little bit. This year, Oxford narrowed it down to like six or seven words. And then, I'm just kidding, they narrowed it down to three words. And luckily, six, seven wasn't on the list, which it was on the other dictionary's list. But anyway, here's the three words: rage bait, aura farming, biohack. Rage bait. Rage bait is when online content is created to elicit anger and outrage that frustrates you, that's provocative to drive you to a specific website. Aura farming is when you're trying to look cool, impress people, be stylish, but you're doing so without trying too hard and being kind of nonchalant in it. Biohack is kind of anything you do to optimize your physical or your mental performance, health, longevity. It might be a new diet, a new fad, a new fitness routine, a new supplement or device that gives you the edge over everyone else. To the many of you that have been biohacking lately, well done. All right, so which is our word of the year? Go ahead and shout out what you think it might be. What's the word of the year? Anyone know? Anyone know? The word is rage bait. 30,000 people voted for the word rage bait. That is your new word of the year. Add it to your vernacular. Use it whenever you can. Be up to date on things. So let me just change the subject real quick. This week, I want to share something else that happened that really kind of, I was shocked when I was scrolling. This ad, this survey came out that was in the local paper. It said this: Little Caesars overwhelmingly beats out local faves Paddington's and Wallery's in Salem survey for best pizza in the capital. Anyone else? I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Right? Like, what is going on? And I just read this and I clicked on it. I'm just kidding, I made this up. This is called rage bait. I'm rage baiting you right now. This is not true. Little Caesars tastes like cardboard, so stick to your local favorites. Straight from the New York should be up there too, because that's where it's at. And would you receive this first blessing of 2026? I bless you, church family, with the ability to stay away from and discern what is rage bait. Amen. We need that one. Hey, here's the deal. There's a lot of voices that are coming at us these days, whether you're online or not. There's just a lot of voices. There's a lot of noise out there. We call it slop. That's another word of the year, just to let you know. And because of that, we thought it was really important to simply understand God's voice. In the midst of all the chaos and the noise, we want to be able to discern his voice. And so as Efren and I were talking of what we wanted to do with these two open weeks on these quasi-holiday weekends, we thought this would be a great topic. If you were here last week, he talked us through the story of Eli and Samuel, and he talked us about how we can discern God's voice. It's a voice to be discerned. It's a relationship we have with God. He's not an inanimate object up in the sky. He's there with us. We have a personal relationship, a voice to be shared. It grows. It's best understood in community, and it's a voice to be obeyed. When we hear him speak, we walk in obedience. Today, we're going to be in the New Testament. We're going to be in Paul's first letter to this young church in Corinth. And a bit more than halfway through his letter, he makes this statement to the church. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." See, Paul is writing to this church that has heard about these spiritual gifts, these special abilities, and he knows that there's this great curiosity, and they've experienced the outflowing of the Holy Spirit, but with it has come some levels of chaos. And I believe that there's this curiosity for us in this room about these spiritual abilities and these gifts as well. He goes on and he gives us a list of some of these different spiritual abilities: words of wisdom, in words of special knowledge, faith, the gift of healing and prophecy, the ability to discern spirits, the gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And he goes on and explains that all these gifts are given to the church, to the local community, to strengthen one another, to build up us as the church, to help us reach our goals, to bring peace and to bring unity to the church. We each are given different gifts, and we're called a body with different parts. And here, Paul also wants to make very clear that the only way these gifts work in community is if they're rooted in love. They're not there for display or spectacle or show or power. They're there to show God's love to one another. And in chapter 13, he hammers that home. But then we turn over to chapter 14, where we'll be today. And we see that Paul pulls from this list of gifts the gift of prophecy. Last week, we concentrated on recognizing God's voice for ourselves and how we cultivate that. This week, we're talking about prophecy, which in its simplest form is simply hearing God's voice, recognizing God's voice for someone else. And so this is our topic for today. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 14. I'll be reading verses 1 to 5 from the New Living Translation. You can turn there if you would like, but it will also be on the screen for you. 1 Corinthians 14. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the gift to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what they are saying to the whole church. Then the church will be strengthened. This is the word of the Lord. Here, Paul is putting some orders of the power of the gifts and puts prophecy kind of at the top. But here, what I want you to take from this passage, the big idea for today, is that prophecy is ordinary. It's ordinary. It's a loving expression that a spiritual, spirit-filled community should have. It's not a rare gift for the spiritually elite. It's available to us. It's commonplace for it should be happening in this room as we gather. And here, Paul presents prophecy as not only accessible, but relational. It's a deeply loving gift. On a regular basis, I am blessed by our prophetic community here at Salem Alliance. Oftentimes, people will say, I felt compelled to just put aside some time and write you a listening prayer letter, a letter of how I feel God, what I'm hearing God say for you, and I hope that this encourages you. And I've received over a dozen of these in the last few years. And it's interesting because every August, I often will go away for 2 days as I'm ready to kick off a new school year, and I'll read through these. And oftentimes, I'll read all these letters as well as I enter into a new year. And this week, I did that. It's one of my regular rhythms. And some of these are 2 to 3 paragraphs. Some of them are 3 or 4 pages. But as I sat there and read through these, I was so encouraged. But it's interesting because every season when I read, it's different things that jump out that people have heard on my behalf. This year was this image that the person said, I see you trying to white knuckle and get things done on your own power. And the word was encouraging because it said, that'll work for you, but there's a better way. And they said they saw a picture of me throwing my hands up like a toddler and God coming and scooping me up and throwing me in the air. And they said, if you continue to surrender and be led by him, your leadership will be accompanied by laughter. For whatever reason, this year that hit more, probably because I do find myself white-knuckling it a little bit more than usual. But I long now to have that image burn in my head, to continue to release things, to throw my hands up and say, Lord, I want to lead in laughter today. One of my favorite things that I get to do in my role as a pastor is also prophetic. If you've been here when we do baby dedications, you know that we have this way that we do it where we go away as the pastor and we listen on behalf of each and every one of the kids and their families. I love getting the list of the dozen or 20 sometimes kids that we're going to get to dedicate on a weekend. And I love, and I go to the prayer room and I ask the Lord to give me a scripture and I ask him to give me an image for every single kid. And when I gather with the families before the service, I always read to them what the Lord has given me before I read it and prophesy it publicly to make sure it resonates. And time again, I see tears come to eyes. I see surprises as they say, that resonates hugely. And I always give them a coffee and I say, these promises are not from me, they're from the Lord. And when they get to their teenage years, you're gonna wanna reread this, if you know what I'm saying. But there's a power. You see, prophecy is an ordinary, loving expression of a spirit-filled community. It happens here. But we want to see it more. We want to see more of you equipped, walking in this spiritual expression. In here, Paul gives us some really clear insights on what it looks like and how to do it well. And I want to pull out four of those insights, and I'm going to go through them pretty quickly here this morning. But the first is this: prophecy is rooted in love. It's really clear right off the top. It comes right after chapter 13, which is all about love. But Paul, again, is saying that it is, you are to pursue love. It's the governing imperative here. Prophecy, the simple definition, spirit-inspired insight that reveals God's heart to someone else. Here's the deal. Some of us struggle to receive God's love, his redemption, his pursuit of us. And sometimes it has to be a prophetic word that comes and pierces through, that moves his love and understanding of it that we might understand in our head, but moves it to our heart. Prophecy is rooted in love, and it reveals the heart of God, which is one of love, which is one of pursuit, which is one of redemption. The second insight we see here is that prophecy is primarily pastoral. It's pastoral in nature. It builds up the community. It edifies the church. The focus is on others in community, but the purpose is really clear. In verse 3 here, we see this incredible structure of what prophecy is. We're given three verbs. It's going to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. If the word of the Lord that you are given for someone else does not do that, just think about it before you offer it. This is what it does. It's rooted in love. It has a clearly articulated purpose. And yet, still in this room, many of us are skeptical of the prophetic. Why? Because we've seen it abused. Because we've seen it stripped of its actual purpose. We've seen it not be edifying, but actually used to manipulate. Very rarely is prophecy about the future. It's not a tool that should be used to spiritually expose, criticize, or cast judgment. Prophecy is more about our heart, our identity, our character, and all of those things as a community, more than it is about circumstantial decisions, dates, elections, judgment. There are times where it might move into these areas, but for the most part, it is about revelation and encouragement that reveal the heart of God. See, prophecy assures us that we are seen and that we are loved. At times, prophecy will come alongside a conviction that we have from the Spirit about sin in our life, and it will affirm that. More than anything, probably, prophecy reminds us of the teachings of Jesus. It makes them come alive in our lives. We think that prophecy is generally new content that we're being given. No, so often prophecy is the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus being given to someone for a specific time and purpose, and all of a sudden it begins to make sense. It is illumined to us through someone else bringing it to our attention. There are times as well that prophecy is there to bring guidance and confirmation when we're looking to make a decision. But do you see how pastoral prophecy is intended to be? It's powerful because it encourages, it reveals the heart and the love of Father. And the focus is always others, hearing God's voice for others, which means it's communal. And that's the third insight here. It's communal and it's orderly. The church in Corinth had experienced the Holy Spirit, but they were young in their faith. They were lacking good leaders, and therefore things were chaotic. People were speaking in tongues over one another without interpretation. There was prophecies that were happening, and so often it felt like it was for show. It was for people to share their opinion and manipulate the Spirit to be able to share their desires. And Paul comes in and says, "Time out. Where's the humility? Where is the order? The gathering is to be a place where the gospel is clearly articulated and he begins to bring some structure and some order to it. But don't miss that it is communal. It unites, it edifies. And it's this communal piece that also gives us a safety net. There's safety when prophecy is happening in community rather than lone rangers. In verse 29, it says, let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. Discernment, evaluation, weighing the words that we are given is also a spiritual gift. You see, in the Old Testament, we have these prophets that were often soloists, and they were given incredible, incredible authority. We read about them in Isaiah, Ezekiel, these massive prophets that spoke these words. But following the Holy Spirit being poured out on all believers at Pentecost, now both the givers of the prophetic word and the receivers of the prophetic word are filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in a level of authority. Therefore, when we're receiving a word, we have this Spirit to weigh it, to discern its truth, and to see where we go with it. And we get to do that in community. Our prophetic communities here at Salem Alliance will gather from time to time. And when they do, they bring their journals. They bring what the Lord has been giving them for us as a church, for our city, for the valley, and they begin to compare notes. And what often happens in those communities is you begin to see these trends. You begin to see that multiple people in the room got the same scripture, that a couple of the people in the room had the same vision or dream, that some of them had the same song and the same lyrics were jumping out to them in the past couple of weeks. And when they see that continuity, when they see those trends, it gets their attention. And they begin to pray into those things. And they ask the Lord for more clarity and to speak to these things. And when they begin to get answers on those things, and in community, there is agreement that this was a word that the Lord spoke, they'll often shoot an email to some of us as leaders, who then invite the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? How do we continue to act on what it is that you are saying to us as a body? We have a saying around here that we're a cloud-following church. This is one of the ways that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to what we do next and to the creative ways that we innovate and bring peace to our city. That is a healthy look at the way prophecy orderly works in the church. But let me also tell you that every year I'll probably get two or three letters that are written to me as a pastor here at Salem Alliance Church. And the envelope comes and it's a handwritten, my name, the church's name, the address, and there's a return address that is usually an individual, not an organization, an individual, and they're usually from Mississippi or Texas or somewhere down south. And I'll read those letters. I'll take it, but I enter in with a level of discernment in knowing that I don't know this person, they don't know us. It seems that they're a soloist, not part of a community, but I'll still read it because I wanna honor the Holy Spirit. But as I read that, I start to take it through my tests. And oftentimes they are written in a way that is chaotic, that talks about what is coming our way and how we need to take action. But generally what it is based in is stirring up fear. And when I see that fear, and I see the fear that they are bringing upon us as a body, and I look at, is it comforting? Is it encouraging? Is it building us up? Generally, I say no, and so I just discard of that prophetic word. Because there's a power and there's safety in community. Prophecy is rooted in love. It's pastoral. It's communal. And finally, prophecy has a missional dimension. We see that here, but let me set it up first, because here's the deal. I believe that our culture and our society has been asking a question to the church for a long time. Those that are curious, they want to know, is what the church has reliable and true? That has been a question that has been asked for decades. And we, the church, have responded. Apologetics has risen. Many people have written books combating atheism. We have seen just different podcasts on the reliabilities of Scripture. The church has responded to the cultural question of the day. But I believe that the cultural question of the day has changed. Now, the question of truth and reliability is still an honest and important question, but I believe that the culture is now asking a different question. They're asking, is there power in it, and is it transcendent? Is there power, and is there transcendence? I believe the culture has been asking this question for a couple of years, and I've shared this before. If you don't believe me, look up the stats on the number of people that are getting their tarot cards read at the Saturday market or at parties or at pop-up stores all over our city, all over the valley. Look at the increased engagement with horoscopes and astrology. There's dozens of Airbnbs that market their properties using words like haunted and paranormal and spooky. Does this bother me? No, it shows that our culture is hungry for the transcendent. The Oregonian just a few months ago had an article that said, "Ghost Hunting in Oregon Wine Country, What It's Like to Spend a Night at This Spooky Retreat." And it wasn't rage bait, I clicked on it. It was a legit article. But here later in this chapter, in verses 24 and 25, we see this missional component of prophecy. Paul says that for someone who doesn't know Jesus, who enters into a community of Jesus followers where prophecy is being demonstrated, it will get their attention, it will bring conviction, and they will declare that God is truly here among you. Why? Because people are hungry. Prophecy is missional. It allows people to experience the transcendent presence of God in a tangible way. And we have the Spirit of God in us and operating among us. For years, it felt like we wanted to keep it on the down low. We're not one of those weird churches. But church family, there's a new question that's being asked. What should be common among us is actually what the culture is hungry for and longing to experience. And so let your light shine and let your prophetic gifting out of the box. And so, if prophecy isn't reserved for the elites, but is simply what happens when a spiritual community makes space together for God to speak, if it's pastoral, if it's rooted in love, if it's revealing the heart and love of the Father, then why don't we give it a try? Today, we don't have a ton of time left, but I want us to do something that we would often reserve to be done in smaller groups, and I want to do it in a big church setting. I want to invite you to get a note, get a piece of paper out, open a note on your phone, open up an email, and I want us to just spend a couple of minutes listening to recognize God's voice. If you're not comfortable taking that step, when I set this up, you can just allow the Lord to speak to you and close your eyes and see what he gives you. But I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the way you grow in the prophetic is by actually giving it a try. And if it is truly for the ordinary, we are the ordinary. And so here's the deal. I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and give each and every person in this room a face or a name of someone that is in their sphere of influence. So Holy Spirit, come, and I pray that you would make known to my brothers and sisters in this room a person whose attention you want to get, a person that you want to remind that you see them, God of all creation. So come and bring revelation now in Jesus' name. Here's one of the things. Some of you got a name right away and you're like, no, not that person. That's probably the person, just so you know. That's like how it works. Okay, hopefully most of you have a name that came to mind. Don't overthink it. Whether they call on Jesus' name or not, doesn't matter. And here's a prompt that I want you to at least take a picture of or write down, because this is important and I'm scripting it out for you. Their name, you came to mind today, and I sense God might have a word for you. I don't know if this will connect, but I feel prompted to share it with you. Here's why I would love for you to write it that way. Because we are not a church that says, "Thus saith the Lord." We are a church that operates in all spiritual gifts with incredible humility. We want to see no spiritual malpractice. So we offer our prophetic words with great levels of humility. So now, as Greta's going to play, we're going to take 2 minutes. What encouraging word, what scripture, what song, what image might God be giving you for the person that came to mind? For some of you, this is going to feel like 20 minutes, and some of you, it's going to feel like 20 seconds, but 2 minutes, go ahead. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal your encouraging and comforting words now. All right, 2 minutes is up. Some of you are just starting, and can I encourage you to go ahead and finish that up later? But the next step is, once the Lord has given you beginnings of a word, or he's given you a word, one of the things that we encourage people to do is take it through the ABC test. Let me share that grid with you real quick, because it's an important thing. It's from Pete Grieg in his book, How to Hear God. You ask yourself, is what the Lord has given me and downloaded, is it strengthening, encouraging, is it comforting? Is it biblical? Does it align with Scripture's character and God's heart? Is it Christ-like? Could I picture Jesus saying the words that I feel like he's given me? What that might look like for you is what happened for me this week. Is I prayed for another pastor in town, and the Lord gave me this image of a Poland Spring water bottle, and I just prayed into that, and he said, Lord, there's a refreshment coming for this person. And so I take that through this grid, and I say, like, does that strengthen and encourage? Yeah, I would want a well to be springing up in me. Yes. Is it biblical? Does it align with things? Well, we see rivers and springs all throughout Scripture. Could I imagine Jesus saying that? Yeah, he says, anyone who is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. And so it passes the test, and I'm ready to now send that out. But as you continue to walk in this and experiment with it, can I just encourage you, even what the Lord has given you, finish up that note, but hold on to it for a day and ask the Lord, do you want me to send this? Don't overthink it. Don't get stuck in your head. If what you wrote is rooted in love and pastoral, what's the worst thing that could happen if you offer it to someone? Some uninspired encouragement? The way we grow in the prophetic is by trying it. Prophecy is a normal, loving expression of a spirit-filled community, which we are. It's spirit-inspired insight that reveals God's heart and his love for others. It's not for the spiritually elite. It's for us, church family. So may we humbly grow in this gifting, and may it be released among us in new and fresh ways in 2026. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. And I thank you for those that are starting to actually hear your voice, even in this room today for the first time. I pray that you would continue to speak to us in powerful ways. Reveal your voice, reveal your heart. Use us to bless others among us and in our city. Receive our worship now. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.